News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5-807, Mobile Mornings, text line 251-343-0106. Also, that is our phone line if you want to join the show. Happy to talk with you. We will talk with Rob Hulbert from Lagniappe Mobile. Most of those stories that they have, some statewide, but most of them focus on the Mobile in Baldwin County, and always brand new news coming out all the time on Lagniappe. So if you have the online subscription, you'll be able to be in the know. A few things we'll hit here this hour include where all this dark money's coming from that ended up in places like Minnesota. Those protests may not be nearly as homegrown as Democrats have said. We'll get to some of that. Also, it wasn't just AOC and or Mark Rubio making headlines, or maybe just a little wave over at the Munich security talks, but also Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham maybe stepping in it a little bit and getting a little vulgar at the Munich security conference. So, yeah, we'll get into some of what Lindsey Graham said that apparently peeved, made some of our European counterparts not too happy with how he was acting in Munich.
So Marco Rubio, he set the standard on how an American, and certainly an American official like Secretary of State, should act when visiting Europe and talking about security.
And he did a good job. A lot of that seemed to be, I don't know, wish casting. Is it fair to say? It was an 18-minute speech. Rubio did a fine job, but the response that came from the media was like, this is the next.
Well, not so much like the New York Times. I mean, they probably didn't say much about it. But yeah, those that you would expect were hopeful that it was going to be a solid speech, which I watched live, and I was like, that. I just took away from it, that's a very good speech.
Very good, yeah.
He tied the cultures together and all. I mean, it was well done. And after some of the hammer to the head that Trump and Vance had done ahead of that, maybe Europe was ready for
a little good cop, bad cop. They were tired of the bad cop.
A little more soothing. And you got a standing ovation in the moment, too. So he was that, and then AOC and Hillary, they didn't quite grade out as well. AOC probably graded out like, if you can be below zero, you hand in a paper and the teacher just balls it up and throws it back at you. That's what AOC basically did with her foreign policy. And again, that's what got me. She knew where she was going. She was going to meetings on foreign policy. She was going to be on a panel. She was going to be asked questions about foreign policy for the United States.
Yeah.
And
they asked her about Taiwan and she just lost it.
She wasn't ready.
Wasn't ready for it.
So Lindsey, on the other hand, he's playing an interesting role too.
Yeah. So to kind of keep with the good cop, bad cop, if Rubio was the good cop out there, Lindsey Graham was in the back room doing bad cop things. He was,
this is hilarious.
You can imagine how on edge Lindsey Graham is right now with the whole Iran situation. Mm-hmm. Remember, I played audio from him just probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, where he seemed to be losing his mind because, these Trump tactics, keeping Iran on their toes, you don't know what he's going to do. I think it's turning Lindsey Graham into a nervous mess. He wants action in Iran so badly.
Yeah, imagine that.
So he's in Munich, and this is from The Telegraph. An American senator called the Danish prime minister a little lady in a foul-mouthed rant over the future of Greenland. Lindsey Graham made the comment during a private meeting with Mette Frederiksen, the Danish leader, and Jens Frederik Nielsen, the prime minister of Greenland. A source told the Danish newspaper Berlingske that after being described as a little lady, apparently by Lindsey Graham.
Now look here, little lady.
Ms. Frederiksen responded, "When you're done, the meeting can continue." You know, that I think we've all heard that kind of tone before.
Yeah.
When you're done, the meeting can continue.
When you're done talking this way, when you're done acting this way.
And it says, during the meeting, Mr. Graham reportedly said that Mr. Trump was the most powerful man in the world, and that if he wanted to take Greenland, he would. One source told Puck News that there were, quote, lots of F-bombs, while another described the American senator as combative. This just doesn't sound like Lindsey Graham at all.
Was this during like a cocktail hour?
That's what it almost sounds like that.
You know, during a mixer.
Yeah.
And he's having him, he's down in a couple of Manhattans and he's just letting it fly.
He had one too many and then just started speaking Lindsey Graham's old mind. Mr. Graham, who's long been supportive of NATO, you don't say, has shifted his stance over the issue of Greenland, aligning instead with the Trump administration. He said in a recent interview, "Who gives a blank who owns Greenland?" He told the website that after NATO allowed the U.S. to bolster its military presence in the semi-autonomous Danish territory, that Europe should stop worrying about Trump's threats. Quote from Lindsey Graham, "If you're nervous, have a beer. Go see a doctor. Stop being nervous. The point is, everybody loves NATO." And Mr. Graham added, "I love it more because people are doing more," referring to a commitment by NATO members to boost defense spending.
Yeah. I mean, Trump's got to be, you know, hopping in line.
He said, "How many of you believe NATO would be contributing this much money, if it weren't for Trump? He's giving them a reason to do it, and they're doing it, so let's celebrate." They've called Lindsey Graham a Trump whisperer and referenced that in this article. And so there
you go.
Doesn't
sound like he was doing much whispering.
No, it doesn't. It sounds
like he was like volume 11.
He was being a bit of a braggart out there and saying, "Listen, if we want Greenland, we'll take it, little lady." And
Mr. Trump's the most important man in the world, okay?
I mean, so the Danish prime minister, of course, did not like being referred to in that manner.
So Lindsey Graham, this just came out. So at these Munich meetings, he's in a situation where I'm joking it was a cocktail hour because that's what the way he was acting. But
could have been.
Okay, yeah. Well, all right, then say maybe it was. But he is addressing the prime minister of a nation like she is the woman ahead of him in line at the Charleston Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah.
"Hey, little lady, you get some broccoli today?" So he's talking to her. So that's enough to, like, she was the one that said, we've had enough of this. And
yeah, she said, "When you're done, the meeting can continue. When you're done talking about taking, you know, Greenland from me.
Calling me a little lady. Yeah. Lindsey, so again, winners and losers over in Munich, and it looks like we have to
account for Lindsey Graham.
I think we do, yeah. He's now on the scorecard.
Yeah, and him running his mouth, will it make it more difficult to get Greenland? I guess we'll find out. But
amazing.
The text line, it's very busy this morning, too. I want to get to that in a second. I missed this story, though, also, as we were kind of talking about, we've talked about the Winter Olympics on and off the last few weeks. Did you realize Lindsey Vonn's dog died, too? I mean, she had an absolutely terrible week. She tore her ACL going into the Winter Olympics.
And then she went for it anyway. And pretty much what that injury did was that's the end of Lindsey Graham skiing, I would think.
Well, Lindsey Vonn. I don't know if Lindsey Graham does much skiing.
Lindsey Graham, he's a figure skater.
Yeah, that's right.
So Lindsey Vonn, that's the end of her probably competitive skiing.
Mm-hmm.
Because an injury like that at this age.
Yeah, I mean, multiple tibia fractures.
Yeah, really bad.
She's still getting operated on. But yeah, it turns out her dog, 13 years old, passed away the day after her crash in the Olympic downhill skiing event. So, you know, I've heard of people having a tough week. That is one of the more difficult weeks you can imagine. Just that high profile of an athlete and to compete with the torn ACL and then have just an awful accident where you're screaming on the mountain.
I know.
And you finally make it back home. And during that process, you find out your best buddy passed away. So that's really tough for Lindsey Vonn to just... kind of wanted to get that story out there. Looking at the text line, Butterknife says, "The only thing that will make Lindsey Graham happy is if we just go to war and people start dying. He needs to be removed from office." That's from Butterknife.
He needs to be voted out of office.
Yes, that would be the way to do it. Firedog says...
I'm not saying he needs... I'm just saying the way you go about it in the United States is you vote him out.
Yes.
So you don't just remove him.
And he's proved resilient to being voted out in South Carolina because he does well by his constituents.
That's right.
They like him calling Prime Minister a little lady.
We like liquored up Lindsey.
Yeah, I think I do too. It's hilarious. Firedog says Sean could use a bit of dark money, 106.5 California edition. Yeah, what they're uncovering out there. Pretty wild. We were talking about Lent, too, and you had that number, 14% of Americans will give something up for Lent.
That's right, according to a survey.
Paul says, many of us who consider ourselves Christian think that the idea of partying for a month, Mardi Gras, before giving up something for Lent is silly. If it needs giving up for Lent, it needs to be given up year-round. That's what Paul says. A texter here says, Dalton, you're correct. Many Christian denominations observe Lent, the 40 days before Easter of prayer, fasting, and sacrifice, and said he's giving up licorice again this year.
Licorice?
I'm sure that's something easy licorice. For you to give up, right? The licorice. Keith says, I'm not Catholic, but I do enjoy all the fish fries on Fridays during Lent.
Yeah, there's a lot of fish being served all over the place on Fridays because of that's part of the Catholic observation is to not eat meat on Fridays.
That's part of the Mark Wahlberg challenge, 40, I guess.
40, Mark Wahlberg 40-day challenge, also known as Lent.
Also known as Lent. Doesn't Have Meta says getting a group together for that $7 billion, moving the franchise to Mobile, dropping the Seahawks mascot in favor of the fighting Dr. Bills. I like the way you're thinking there. Larry from Daphne says most Protestant Christians probably don't participate in Lent. I've never participated in it. Another texter with what's going on over in Mississippi on 10 says in Mississippi, the I-10 bridge between Moss Point and Goshen, they have the bridge shut down and are conducting a grid search. It's connected with the high-speed chase that ended near Irvington. Yeah, Leanna was filling us in on that some, at least what she's been able to discover looking into that story. It sounds like someone was throwing objects off
the bridge.
That bridge, and that someone has been taken into custody. So keep you updated as more comes on that throughout the morning. Jason texting in. So yesterday at Mobile City Council meeting, they did approve funding to fix up the cruise terminal a little bit better, getting ready for the Carnival Valor to come in next year. But they also voted on this new hemp law, which went into effect officially January 1st after last year's legislative session. And yesterday, the council unanimously approved a new local licensing process allowing businesses to continue selling consumable hemp products. The law imposes a 10% excise tax and requires retailers who sell gummies, drinks, and oils to obtain an ABC license, just like alcohol vendors. And so Jason was texting in and said, good morning, guys. Do y'all think the approval of the council to allow hemp sales is solely a revenue decision? It's sure not a quality of life decision and deteriorates the city as a whole. And Jason continues, how do we have guys on the council like Ben Reynolds and Josh Woods that ran as family values conservatives voting in favor of hemp? What am I missing here? Well, I'll say with the regulations, with the city basically yesterday unanimously approving that process to where you can apply to have that hemp business in the city, you'll just have to pay 10% on top. Mm-hmm. And the state laws that went into effect after the session last year, those are still the law. So even if you do get approval through Mobile and to sell in the city of Mobile, you're still having to abide by the new legislature rules, which means they have severely cut back on how much of that hemp is allowed in each of these products. Mm-hmm. So that was a big part of this discussion where so many of these hemp stores who said, hey, if you cut it back that far, that cuts out most of what I'm currently selling. You know, they had some pretty potent stuff that they were selling in a lot of these smoke shops and, you know, whether it's gummies or some of these drinks that had much more THC than they're allowed to have now. So the 10% tax, I'm sure the council said, hey, yeah, we'll take that. And also, I'm sure they felt better about approving it, knowing that the rules that were put in by the state, those guardrails make it so that none of the stuff they'll be selling is exactly the most potent.
There's stuff out there that's almost, you know, could bring on hallucinations.
There's some really high power stuff, but also you have, and part of that argument was
You drink one of those or put a gummy, and next thing you know that you're behind the wheel.
Yeah, gone.
That's not good.
No, I don't think so, especially if you don't know what you're getting into.
Right, exactly.
But also you have, I thought it was a pretty fair argument too, and it came from a place where they didn't want their businesses shut down. But there are a lot of people in town, all around, who were using these hemp products and using them correctly and with discipline. Like if they have trouble sleeping and they're tired of taking melatonin or, you know, something worse, like some actual prescription sleep pills that somebody doesn't want to become addicted to or had previously been addicted to.
You wake up on Saturday, right?
You wake up 48 hours later and you've called the Prime Minister of Denmark, little lady. Yeah, some people are actually able to be disciplined and use these products the right way. And, you know,
In a medicating
stinks
way.
Stinks for them, yeah. If they've got a really sore back or sore knees and this is something that helped them and they don't want to get the prescription for medical marijuana. So I think it's probably a pretty fair trade there to allow that to continue being sold.
Saw something yesterday I've never seen before. I went to a grocery store. A guy was smoking a joint all the way up to the moment he got to the door of the grocery store.
No way.
Yep. Yep.
You're sure it was, he was just smoking a joint?
Yep.
Wow.
It was, because the smell was pretty obvious.
Why'd you put it out?
Hey, by the way, this dark money funneling into these protests that are turning so violent have over the last couple of months. More on that on the way. It's 8:22, Dan and Dalton in Mobile Mornings.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
826 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Senator Jim Banks, Republican from Indiana, has called for a federal investigation into anti-immigration and customs enforcement activist groups. A lot of this stuff is being funded by this Syngman guy in China.
Yeah.
He made all his money in the United States. He sold it off, and now he lives in China, and he just sends these funds over here. There was a conversation going on yesterday on Capitol Hill where they were talking about, it might have been from that New York Post article from a couple of weeks back, as much as 60, I might have this wrong, I don't think I do, $60 million has been identified circulating around Minneapolis and St. Paul, $60 million going to nonprofits that were funding a lot of what we saw.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. In one place, and that's how you get the upheaval you get.
Yeah, and it's all such.
I mean, I'm not saying all of it. I'm just saying that's playing a big role in all this.
Of course it is, and that dark money. You know, it's a miracle they've been able to trace it back the way they have to whether it's that fellow there who's in, what is he, Beijing now, or I don't know. And then, of course, the Soros money. They're able to kind of track a lot of that down. How would you feel though? It kind of reminds me of the. Is it Jason Sudeikis and Jennifer Aniston movie where they're this family that has to, they pretend to be a family that has to smuggle drugs into America for Ed Helms. And they find out at the end that Sudeikis was paying some of them to go and not paying some of them to go on this trip. So I wonder if it's like that for a lot of those protesters out there. Some of them are just protesting out of love for the game, right?
Yeah.
And they're out there, and they're very passionate about and screaming and putting themselves in incredibly dangerous situations.
Yeah, they're being played. They're being played by the paid actors.
Yeah, they find out they're the puppets. They're the ones that are just being dangled out there and maybe even martyred, as we've seen a few times.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of money that goes into that, and you have to think that most of the people who aren't from these areas that are out there protesting, they have to get funding to get there somehow, some way.
Started back with the BLM riots, that things were noticed about people bringing in on things, dropping off pallets of
bricks.
Yeah, right.
These trailers that would just randomly show up.
Right.
That were full of things that could be used as weapons.
Up in Portland as well.
And there have been a lot of promises made by the Trump administration that they would be able to unravel a lot of these networks and, you know, charge a lot of these people criminally. And I've been seeing so many stories about that one guy in particular that you just referenced.
Yeah,
Syngman. And he's probably safe in China. I don't think they're going to scoop him up and send him this way. But have we at least done the due diligence of, you know, letting him know what charges he could be facing? Or I don't know how that whole process is going to work out.
But I think that's what Banks and others are calling for now, for the DOJ to get involved in this and get out the hammer and at least scare people into acting a little differently. I don't know if they could or would, but like you say, he's tucked away in China, probably living awfully well, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but probably a lot of foot soldiers between here and there that they could go out and scoop up and make an example of. Also, you know, this is with Andrew, Prince Andrew, or the man formerly known as Prince Andrew, being arrested today on his 66th birthday regarding the Epstein files. Is he the only one that's going to go down for this, or is this just the beginning? I know Wexner had to answer some questions yesterday.
Yeah, he had his day in front of Congress from his Ohio home yesterday. We're going to talk with Rob Hulbert on the way next.
Good morning for the PelkTire.com traffic center airport in Shelter Road. We've got an accident slowing up traffic. The accident, I-10 eastbound on McDonald Road, now cleared up. Got delays near Range Line and 65. And as you're traveling downtown, radar by Michigan Avenue and Virginia Street. But across the Bayway and the Causeway, we look good. At Pelk Tire, you can now get a $40 gift card with the purchase of a set of two tires, or an $80 gift card with the purchase of a set of four tires. Any size, any brand. Pelk Tire, your locally owned tire and auto service pros at PelkTire.com. You know, I'm came with the FM Talk 106.5. Traffic.
Stay on top of big news and the local beat with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, 834 on Mobile Mornings. 251-343-0106, that's our text line. You have forfeited your chance to call in because I told you we're going to talk with Rob Hulbert from Lanyap at the bottom of the hour. And he's on the line with us this morning. I love the name of the podcast here. Start with this. Not so hard, mister. that's pretty funny. And so Dalton and I, we had a little bit of experience doing this Mardi Gras season. We were in the after the floral parade on the St. Jude.
The crew of St. Jude,
on the Marine Trailer. There were a lot of underwriters too when we ride. There's a lot of people involved, but in any event, you know, we get it. You want to throw, you don't want to throw so hard. Now that's suddenly it's suddenly become a case in the news, huh?
Yeah, they had a guy at the Double OMs the last, you know, it's the last parade of the season, and a guy was. As the police said, this is not our terminology, it's theirs, aggressively tossing the beads, and they pulled him off of the float and handcuffed him and let him off. They ended up not arresting him. So he was allegedly throwing packs of beads very hard at people and hitting people in the face and I don't know what exactly predicated that moment where they pulled him over and took him off the float. But the pictures of him, he looks like a young guy to me. It's hard to tell, you know, with the mask, but he looked like a young guy. But it was kind of unprecedented because this happens every year, right? You know, there's always some idiot who's throwing things way too hard and going crazy and hitting people. And I guess this guy was allegedly doing that quite a bit. And then there was a whole confusion about what was going on after that, because the public safety director comes out and says they are investigating the guy. At first, there was no investigation. Then they said they're investigating the guy. And then after we wrote the story saying they're investigating, then the city calls us and says, well, that's not who we're investigating.
Yeah.
It's some other incident.
Right.
Like, okay, I don't, you know, who knows? That's what they said. I mean, we're just reporting what they said.
Yeah.
They got to get their stuff straight, but I don't know what's going on.
The story goes something like, that guy was detained, but then he was let go.
Right.
But during the same parade, a woman required medical attention after being struck by a glass bottle while spectating from the route, and she was later treated at a local hospital, and they're looking into, was that thrown from a float, or was it thrown by another spectator?
Yeah, yeah. I know, but when he stood up in front of the media the other day, he said that they were investigating that guy. So it was just a confusion.
Yeah.
You know, this not a long enough segment really to dive into the human psyche, but I don't get it. I don't get it one bit. I mean,
I was hoping you guys would help me out a little bit with that.
It is a privilege to be on one of those floats. And you know that there's kids out there. You know there's women. I don't get it. What do you get? What kind of thrill do you get in demolishing someone with a bag of beads or something heavy off of the float? I don't get the thrill in that one bit. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I feel like most of the time that I've gotten nailed by something like that has been when somebody, like the float is passed and they're trying to throw it back to somebody they know near me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're throwing it from a long way and just tag you that way. I mean, that's on you as the parade watcher, I think. You know, you got to keep a hand up and keep your head on a swivel. But
yes.
But then there are those people who come along and just go crazy.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you an example. On our parade on Saturday, there was such a person that I passed. I heard my name, and it was like, He kept screaming, and I said, I've got to turn around and try to get something to him.
Yeah.
It was your sports writer, Tommy Hicks.
Yeah, well, I hope you nailed him. I hope you hit him pretty hard. Yeah.
I hope
you waited until he turned his head and pounded him.
No, yeah, but that was an opportunity where I could have hit the lady next to him. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, and then
Didn't you throw a TV to him? those are things that, it's one of those things, like, how are you going to prosecute, like, how hard is too hard? It's a great slogan for Viagra, but I don't know what. But I mean, it's just like, where are you going to go? You're throwing beads at a certain level, but if you throw them you throw them 31 miles an hour, you're over. I don't know.
You could have police officers sitting out there with their jugs gun.
Yeah,
and you can look really aggressive when you're throwing and not have a good throw. You can have, if you have an arm like mine.
That's a changeup.
You just look like you're tossing something out there, and it goes a million miles an hour. So,
there's always the thing where, you know, some people don't throw it hard enough. They can't get it over the barricade. So there's complaints about that. We had, like, I think there was a couple of years ago, a guy got almost knocked unconscious across from the garage or near the garage. And then I know a lady last year got pounded. She may have also fallen off a barricade or something, but there's, it happens. And I mean, it's like when somebody sees you that knows you, they just throw everything as hard as they can.
There's that, yeah.
You know, but I mean, that's thrown with love, I think.
Well, of course, the people that I all know, we're on the parade route, it's like eight out of every 10 people standing outside the garage, I know. Now, that probably says more about me than it says about them necessarily, but there's my crowd, and it's such a massive crowd, you're just trying to
let it all out.
Yeah, get something to
do. Well, there was
Remember what parade it was not that long ago when former city councilman William Carroll, when he saw me, I waved at him. He threw stuff at me really hard.
We can read into that all kinds of ways.
Yeah,
he was not smiling. I don't know.
Well, there was a little bit of, I guess, not that that's not real violence, but, you know, shots fired. That became a big deal after Joe Kane day came to an end. And you know, that's a day where the last parade begins rolling at 4:30. These shots were fired, and it sounds like in a couple locations at least, and right around the same time, I think 11 o'clock, 11:30 that night. And you had in one incident where 7 people were wounded, I think none died in that incident. But then you have another, there was a block away where someone was trying to rob someone else, and the person doing the robbing ended up getting killed. So we made it through most of the season without any of that kind of gun violence.
Yeah, we also saw when they put out the weekend report yesterday that there was another shooting down on Broad Street in Savannah, which is slightly off the parade route.
Yep.
And that was a couple of teens that had gunshot wounds. So, I mean, there were 3 shootings on that evening right around the same time, right in relatively the same area. Technically, the one on Broad and Savannah was not inside the Hank Aaron Lake, but it was real close.
Adjacent. A few blocks to the south, I guess. But you're right.
And almost the same time.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say this. I was down there. I was not down there 11 o'clock, but I was down there
earlier
there were certainly police everywhere. We are at a point with some of these folks that just, they're going to shoot at people. Doesn't matter if there's a crowd around. Doesn't matter if there's police standing nearby. They just are doing that. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's really fair to blame police on that kind of thing. I mean, there's a police presence there. And I think when Scott talked to the police about the shooting, they said they had something like 50 officers down in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, because there was already a shooting that had occurred on Savannah. So, I mean, there are officers coming into the area at that point even more. So, it's an unfortunate part of life. And I don't know, I'm not trying to write it off, but I don't know what the answer is to it.
No, I think that we all feel about the same way.
Yeah, not that you're 100% safe at 11 a.m., but you're more safe than you would be at 11 p.m. And not that that makes any of it right, but just kind of knowing where you are and what time it is. And like you said, I mean, whether it's New Year's Eve night, moon pie drop, or Joe Kane Day, you can put as many police officers out there as you possibly could, and there will still be people willing to throw their lives away and throw the lives of innocents away just because they've got whatever this street beef is and have to fire it out. So, what is the answer beyond some kind of long-term, I don't know.
Sentence.
Yeah.
the police caught another guy. They were the two guys were having an argument, and one guy was pulling he was showing his gun, and it had a Glock switch on it, which is, those are basically making it fully automatic. Yep. And they just spray bullets everywhere, which is usually how people, 8, 9, 10 people get hit. And they got that guy before things escalated to that point, but he was flashing his gun. It is a mess, and I think it's a much deeper problem if you want to get into the psychology of humans, as you talked about earlier. we need those are things that I think people have got to be dealing with at home to begin with, and just why folks are doing stuff like that. It makes no sense.
It's absurd.
But I will switch gears here into my full old man mode and about one other thing that is very dangerous.
Please.
And it's those damn scooters. It's time for the scooters to go away. I don't know if y'all were watching that, but it was like, there are 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds on scooters just going like crazy. I don't know. I've just got to the point where I'm like, these things are a menace. I don't really know what. Certainly during Mardi Gras, they need to turn them off or something. They were just like flying through the crowds, almost hitting people.
Yeah, I could see. You're right. It's different when you consider Mardi Gras.
It's already chaotic. That adds a whole other element.
Exactly. There's already so many people down there in a small space for those scooters to be swinging around in and out. And you're right. People of all ages on those things.
Well, they're supposed to be. You're supposed to have a driver's license. That was always the thing. And it's like, that's not the case anymore, man. And they're just everywhere. And I don't know. We almost got hit by a couple of them. It was nuts. It's, I don't know. I think they really, I know they're coming up again for, to get their contract redone. I think the city council really needs to look at what they're doing with this and whether it's really a help to downtown or not. Mm. Certainly most weekend nights, there are a lot of teenagers on those things, and they are acting like basically like bike gangs almost.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that'll be something really worth keeping an eye on, and what the kind of public backlash, if there is some, sounds like in those council meetings as they get ready to debate that. And speaking of debating,
Scootergate.
There it is.
Scootergate. Yeah.
Up in Montgomery, and we spent so much of last week talking about this Public Service Commission bill,
right,
which really the brakes were slammed on that late last week, even though, you have several big names over there in Montgomery who still want to see it pass. It seems
don't close your eyes on that one. They're going to try to pass it.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it seems important to them to do that. But this SSUT lawsuit is something I've been talking about for a long time now.
Yeah.
Because just with the 8% online tax compared to the 10% brick and mortar, and then how that online tax is distributed, I've been saying from the very beginning, listen, they'll probably just raise that online tax to 10% and find a way to charge taxpayers even more and somehow try to make that right with the cities and counties. I don't know if that's the direction they're going, but the cities like Mobile and Tuscaloosa, they've now stepped away from that lawsuit and say, hey, the legislature is going to fix this so that we're all comfortable with it. I don't know if that means the taxpayers will be comfortable with what they end up doing.
Yeah,
but,
right.
What do you see coming from this SSUT?
Well, I think that's the big thing is, it was turning into a county versus city fight in a lot of places. Across the state, the counties and the counties and the sheriffs were lined up against the cities. And I think it is a good thing that the legislature is going to step in and just try to fix some of these inequities and how it's distributed. Because there's a big gap between how, what the city could get and what, and then if they get that, then the county loses a bunch of money. So it's, they need to sort of figure it out and smooth it out so that everybody's treated fairly. As far as raising the tax, I hope they don't, but
it seems to be what they like to do.
Once the door's open, it's typical.
Mm-hmm.
What do we turn our attention to now, Rob? Because just as far as like the calendar, we peaked out with Mardi Gras. That's Mobile's big time. We now got we're talking about Lent on the text line this morning. What people are giving up for Lent, or if they even practice that at all. But just what do you see as some of the things that you think you'll be covering here in the near future? What will Lanyap be dealing with?
Well, obviously we're moving into a political season, and it'll start to get a lot more intense here in short term. I mean, there are a lot of offices up. I mean, you've got, you know, obviously congressional races, you've got a governor's race, you got all the statewide races are out there. And, you know, so that, I think that's going to be a big deal, and it's going to be, there'll be a lot more focus on that, certainly in the next couple of months, because we're not real, real far away from primaries.
You're right.
Know? So it will be really settling in. It's going to start moving fast.
Yep, you're right about that. So we'll have more of those candidates on air, too, and I know you'll probably interview them as well.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I think people are just going to, we're going to be, you know, in on Scootergate. It's coming. It's going to be hard.
Yeah. Scootergate. And
Scootergate is going.
It's coming at us like a green flash.
Speaking of going fast, the arena. Well, I mean, absolutely incredible to see the work they've done on that downtown. So that won't be long either. And they're hoping before Mardi Gras next year, they've got that ready to roll. I know the parking garage was lovely. We parked in that right there.
Yeah, Dalton gave it five stars. Have you been to that yet? He said it's amazing.
Five-star parking garage. Yep. That's nice. That's good. Yeah, that's I mean, it is amazing to go past there and see how fast the arena's going up. It is like, I mean, every, you know, if I miss a week or so going down that area, it's just like, wow.
And I know nothing about construction, but I noticed when we were down there for the parade, five or six cranes on site. I mean, so they're cruising. They're getting stuff done.
They are. Yeah, it's going fast.
All right. Well, good stuff, Rob. Appreciate it. Hope you had a great Mardi Gras. And I know that we'll also be voting. It won't be long. We'll be voting for the 2026 nappies, that part of the calendar right around the corner.
It'll start in March, guys.
All right.
It's coming back around. So, yes, nappies are back on us. Yes.
Not far away. We appreciate
you. Get ready.
Yes. Oh, I am. And we appreciate your time. We'll talk with you again next week.
Absolutely. Y'all have a great weekend.
Rob Hulbert, Lanyapmobile.com. Very, very great place to get a subscription. The value is totally there, and they do a great job, whether it's Scott or Kyle or Rob himself or sports guys Tommy and Randy, keeping you updated on everything going on around here. Fantastic stuff. 8:51, when we come back, we'll let you know who's coming up on the Jeff Poor Show. He comes on next, and also plenty of texts. We'll try to get to as many as we can before we wrap things up. 251-343-0106.
Season of Lenten texts for us. Look it over for you.
I gave up reading texts for Lent. So it's all on you, Dan.
That's a lot of pressure, man. I've got that sixth grade reading grade. It is Dan and Dalton on Mobile Morning.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
The last text we got in is a real heater here. Unnamed texter says, random subject, the flags flying at Eichhold Mertz Magnet School are an absolute disgrace. Faded and shredded, a terrible look for our public schools, especially sitting right on Highway 90, a major thoroughfare.
Hmm.
Is that the case? I haven't noticed that those flags look that bad at Mertz School.
Yeah, we got to stay on top of that if it's something you can fix. And sometimes they just don't know. So, yeah, just let maybe some folks there know their flags aren't looking too hot. Mm. And they get that thing kind of figured out. I know we're going to let the school board know. Maybe do that as our part. Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, former State Senator Dick Brubaker joins Jeff in hour number one. In hour two, April Marie Fogle on the Jeff Poor Show. And in hour number three, he has plenty of national politics to discuss. Bradley J. with Breitbart News, all of that coming up on the Jeff Poor Show here in just a few minutes. Looking at the text line, Squirrel Verine says, as far as the violence downtown Mobile, and whether that's beads being thrown or shots being fired, says, it's kind of hard for me to care about this parade matter when people go into that stupidity. You mean no one is claiming that the injuries have, quote, nothing to do with Mardi Gras? He says, there's more said about this than people going downtown with murder on the mind. And then finally from Squirrel Verine, this recurring excuse that the violence can't be deterred is ridiculous, especially from people like media figures who help promote and glorify gangster violence culture. If Lanyap can point out that Murphy High School has a majority black student body to justify protests against the Secretary of Education's visit, then they can point that demographic when reporting shootings. You could talk race or whatever it may be. I think the point is that you have as many police officers in that area as there were, and someone still pulls out the gun with the Glock switch and starts firing basically indiscriminately. Like, what is the fix in the moment there? How do you prevent that from happening?
Yeah, you can't. So it is. It's a deep, deep issue. Certainly, we understand that it's been addressed. It's been addressed on this station a number of times, the race issue of all of this. It's been addressed, but what's the answer? And are we the same media? Are you conflating us as the ones that are saying hip-hop culture is the best thing out there? I mean, we're a news talk station. What the hell have we done?
Well, yeah, I just think, in the moment, I mean, if you have the scanners, if this was like an arena that people were going into, but when it's downtown and you have 130,000 people out there and cops everywhere, at some point, some of that's just not preventable. Not that that's a good answer.
Spiro said some of that. Said as much, Mayor Spiro, the morning after it happened.
Rock and Roll Doctor says, great tagline for Mobile, quote, where shootings are just a part of life. He said, I live on the Eastern Shore, and I can say it is certainly not a part of life here. A lot more text. Jeff Porcho on the way next.